Dr. Tim Challis said, I am convinced a lot of people fail at family devotions because we feel that the word of God, here, right here, and prayer are not enough. Or we feel that it is boring. And here's what I know. If you're born again, if you're truly saved, the word of God is like a magnet. Even in how I just read it. Sincere Christians will get with that. They will open their Bibles, even if it's a different version, and they will read along and get a huge blessing from the simple reading of the Word of God. That's what I know. And that even though the flesh and the devil and the world does not want us to pray, the true born-again Christians will find a way to pray. And they will make their way to the family devotions or the church devotions, anywhere where the Word of God is being read, preached, and taught, and people are praying, born-again Christians who are sincere in Jesus will make their way there. They may come in with sleep in their eyes that they might have to pull out with their finger. They may not quite be ready to go, but they will show up. Because deep down in their hearts, they love Jesus, and they love to hear His word. And they also know something special happens when they get under the word and in prayer. So I've never worried about it being boring and not enough, because I'm not trying to attract people who don't love the Lord. For that part, I share the gospel every time, every time I preach, everything that I do, I always share the gospel because God called me to be an evangelist, and I believe that many people in the church are not saved. And so there are many people who are religious and lost. But when it comes down to devotions and prayer and reading the Bible, I believe God's people will show up. The born-again ones, the faithful few. They may have to fight inertia. They may have to fight the devil. They may have to fight the flesh. They may have to fight a spouse to get out. But they will do it. And they will love it. And deep down, they'll get so much from it. It's not even measurable. The saints of God will be there. And we welcome those who are not the saints of God. That's why we present the gospel. The Challis also goes on to say, we read books and blogs by people who do so much more and feel that we do not measure up. This is why I have told you repeatedly, stop reading everybody's blog and following everybody. You're wasting your life and you're wasting your time. Even his blog, Tim Challis's blog, is a very popular blog among preachers. I'm telling preachers, don't even follow him. Don't even read his blog. You need to get what you need to get as a pastor from God for your people. You're dealing with a different people, a different geographical area. You need a word from God, not from Tim Challis or anybody else. And then he goes on to say, we finish. See that only 5 minutes have elapsed and feel like that cannot possibly be enough. It is easier to not do devotions at all than to do them simply. Don't fall into that trap. The word of God and prayer are enough. The word of God and prayer are awesome. Make the fact that you do them more important than how you do them. I want to repeat that in your hearing. You, by the way, you don't have to do devotions like me. My family may need more than your family. We might have more devils in our family than in yours, for whatever reason. So I'm led of the Lord to do more in my family. Make the fact that you do them more important than how you do them. Let's pray for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this beautiful Saturday morning, a day, as the old saints used to say, that we have never seen before, and a day that we shall never see again. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the healing and the revival and the strengthening of all Christian marriages and families. Through prayer and through the reading of your holy word and through the obedience to your holy word, especially found in Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6. And Holy Father God, those who are not interested in having a biblical family and doing family your way, then they can depart. But those who are interested in doing family your way, help them to stay and to pray and to obey and be the husband and wife and father and mother and children that you want them to be, even though it does not match up to the worldly way or to the American way or to the Joneses or the Smiths next door. Lord, help us not only to think differently, but to be different. You have told us throughout your holy word to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And your people have gotten into much trouble for not doing so down through the years. And so, Holy Father God, heal every Christian marriage and family. By every Christian marriage and family, and each person in every Christian marriage and family doing their part according to Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, where you instructed everybody in detail as to what they ought to do in the family. And not only that, we'll be reading today how that you instructed us how to deal with the devil and to defend our family from the devil in the same passage. Grant us your grace, your strength, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that, so that everybody under the sound of my voice and everybody they communicate with can have peace and quiet and joy in their home. And whenever there's a problem, to deal with it immediately, based upon your holy scriptures. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of those families across this country and around the globe who don't know you, and many of them don't know you because we have failed you in keeping the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. Not only are we not witnessing to the people, we don't love the people. Forgive us, Lord, have mercy and grace upon us, and forgive us of our sins, and help us to repent and to do the first works. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'd raise up laborers into the field, to go into the field the whited harvest field to reap the harvest for your glory, praise, and honor, whether it's us or not. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in reading or reciting in the middle the Apostles' Creed. This is the new Apostles' Creed. You may have to type that in to get the Apostles' Creed that we read and recite. I added something I believe they left out. You can just type in Daniel White III's Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. If you don't believe this, don't read this. Don't recite it. But if you believe it, it will transform your life if you truly believe it. Or it should transform your life. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women and the disciples and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let's go back up. I want to make sure we did a part. Go back up. Okay, good. We got it. Amen. Amen. I believe that only saved people would recite or read that and believe it. And if you believe that, it ought to change your life. Go ahead and turn this around and brighten it up 100%. There you go. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, for our family passage reading, I believe that we're going to start reading at verse 10 of chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And yes, we have read this passage every day in our family for 33 years by the grace of God. Because, see, when God is using somebody in your family or using your family to proclaim the gospel and to reach thousands of folks, hundreds of folks with the gospel, the devil is going to be on you like white on rice and black on me. He's going to do everything he can to destroy your family, to hinder you from proclaiming the gospel. And that's why you have to stay prayed up. You have to pray always. You've got to understand the principle that you don't wrestle with flesh and blood, that it is the devil behind individuals trying to cause problems. And when you are doing like we do, proclaiming the gospel and preaching the gospel each and every day, sometimes two and three times a day, the devil wants you to stop that. And not only that, doing that live, but we do at least five, sometimes six, seven podcasts a day. And everything we do includes the gospel. Everything we do has the preaching of the gospel in it. And it goes out all over the world. And the devil wants that stopped. And then by the grace of God, we use our Alexa to give us a chime or an alarm every hour to pray for the work of the ministry and other things. And the devil wants that stopped. And so if there is a devil, and there is because God said so, he's going to fight against you if you're serving God in a very real sense. And one of the ways that he fights against you is he wants to destroy, if he can't destroy the family completely, he wants to destroy the fellowship in the family. He wants to get you mad at each other, divided, and so angry at each other that you won't concentrate on God's work. And I'm happy to say that by the grace of God, because God showed me this early on, the work of God has never been hindered by my wife or by anybody in my family. But I will say, like Jesus predicted, and I know that you in the prosperity gospel world and with that prosperity gospel mentality, you're not going to like it. But my wife has been my greatest enemy in the ministry. The Bible talks about how that Jesus Christ said your greatest enemies will be they of your own household. And that's a fact. And the devil will work hard to make that so. And however, I've never allowed her to hinder me from proclaiming the gospel. In fact, if it was up to her, I wouldn't be here before you today. So you need to make sure you understand that the devil is seeking to destroy you, and he will use those closest to you, not somebody way out. Your greatest enemies will be right up close. Jesus had a Judas. God had a Judas, Lucifer. Your greatest enemies are close by, and they're the ones who will stab you in the back and try to hinder you. And so that's why you need to pray without ceasing. You need to pray always, as if you're going to serve God. You need to have your family praying together and keeping the devil out of your family, because the devil can wreak havoc, and he has done so. That's one of the reasons why so many pastors' families have been destroyed and ruined by the devil. So verse 10 reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And by the way, that verse right there is key. That verse right there is key. That's the reason why we're still married after 33 years. She's in here helping me right now in the ministry. She heard everything I just said. And that's the key verse. Let me allow me to read it again in your hearing, because you need to understand this. You need to stop hating your enemies, even in your family. You need to understand the devil is behind them. I know you don't understand how or why, but the devil will use your family members to try to hinder you and hinder the family and hinder the church from serving God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You got to keep that in mind. It's not the human being, it's the person, it's the devil behind them. If you don't remember this and you don't understand this, your family does not have a chance of staying together. Because you're going to make your family members, they are your enemy, but you're going to make them your enemy and not the devil. And you need to remember the devil is your ultimate enemy. Yes, you have to rebuke them. And you have to get on their case, no doubt. Because they're letting the devil use them. They're letting the devil into the family. And that has to be stopped. You can't just let it go and go and go and go, because it's going to blow up. And that's why we got so many blow-ups in families today. People wanting to kill people and kill one person in the family and kill themselves and all this kind of foolishness. I've never thought of anything like that in my life, and I thank God. Because I remember, and we read this every day, and so I'm reminded of it every day, and everybody in the family is reminded of it every day, that my ultimate enemy is not my wife or my husband or my children. My ultimate enemy is the devil himself. He's the one behind it, causing them to wake up looking like the devil and acting like the devil. They were just fine last night, but now they acting like the devil and want to fight, cause a problem. It's amazing how that happens. Okay, don't let the devil use you in your family. Get up before you say anything on the side of your bed. Pray. Whisper a prayer. Pray before you go to family devotions. Quote a verse before you even go to the bathroom. And then start praying. Get out into the living room or the den, wherever you have family devotion. Start praying by yourself until everybody comes in there. Let them hear you. Start, get on YouTube and get the doxology going or something like that playing. And they'll come. Those who are saved will come. Those who are born again, they'll get out there with you. All you need is two. And don't wait till everybody gets up and everybody comes out. Just go ahead on, and whoever is faithful, you pray with them. And the others will come. And by the time they come, you've already cast the devil out of them. So it's good. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They are your true enemies. Your family member might be your enemy too, but they are being used by the devil to hinder you and to try to stop you. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That means that you will be attacked. This is not going to be a walk in the park. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Be a gospel, the gospel of peace. Be a gospel-minded and focused person. Your purpose in life is to get the gospel out for the Lord Jesus Christ. above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil will be shooting all kinds of darts at you, even through family members. Why? Listen to me. You need to understand now. Why would the devil use your neighbor? He could. He has. Why would the devil use somebody over in China to fight against you? He could. No, the devil is going to work on somebody right there in the house with you. You need to understand that. I know you say, well, why is that? We are a Christian family. We're a Bible-believing family. We're a church-going family. Why would, how is it that one of my family members would be so possessed by the devil to attack me and try to hinder me? Well, if you were the devil, who would you use? The people who can hurt you the most are those right close by you, your own family members, your own friends, your so-called Ace Boon Coons. David talked about his familiar friend who betrayed him, who kicked up his heels underneath his table and ate his food, betrayed him. Judas was around Jesus for about 3.5 years and then betrayed him with a kiss. You have a Judas in your family, I guarantee you. If you're serving God for real, I guarantee you, beloved, I guarantee you, you got a Judas in your family. Those of you who are pastors of churches, you got a Judas in your church, and you have more than one. Some of you pastors, you have a Judas sleeping beside you every night. Her name is Jezebel. While you're building up the church, she's tearing it down. While you're trying to win men to Christ and build them up in the Lord, she's trying to whore around with them. That's right. There are Jezebels in the church. Oftentimes, they're pastors' wives. We thank God for the good ones. But everybody is not good. I know that's not popular. I know you don't want to hear that in your sweet little charismatic prosperity gospel, evangelical, light evangelical world. But I hope that world is being shaken up real good right now. It's not standing up well. Look at America. Look at Atlanta last night. Look at St. Paul, Minnesota last night in Minneapolis. Look at Los Angeles. Look at us. Look at Detroit. Where are the men of God? Where are the pastors at? The great, wonderful, rich pastors. No power, no authority, can't stop nothing. Not starting anything and can't stop anything. My girl, I forget her first name, Keisha Bottoms, Maya Bottoms. Oh, she's got something going on. Maya Bottoms let them have it last night. And this is what we got going on. Killer Mike. Killer Mike. The man is named Killer Mike. And T.I., a multiple jailbird, they got to come out and try to quiet the crowd last night. And by the way, make sure you put Killer Mike's speech, Keisha Bottoms' speech, Andrew Young's speech. Andrew Young got to come out, almost got one foot in the grave for sure. He got to be almost 100 years old. He had to come out at 3 o'clock in the morning and make some statements. T.I., where are the men of God? Where is Elijah? Somebody asked, where is the God of Elijah? And then somebody, Leonard Ravenhill said, where is the Elijah of God? What? Where are the men of God? Where are the little MLK juniors? People are just slept, losing their mind, going crazy. This is not the kind of nonviolent protesting that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did. Tearing up your own neighborhood, tearing up black folks' business. Black folk finally got a business. You gonna come out by and burn it down to the ground. That don't even make any sense at all, people. And you know, it's going to take years for these people to build these things back up. Some will not come back online at all. Where are the men of God? Why are you not out there holding hands? Y'all love each other so much, you pastors. You know, locking arms and say, you can't pass here. We're the men of God. We're the people of God. You're probably scared. That's why. Because some of the jokers who know you will shoot you with a water pistol and you'll go running. The whole preacher band will be disbanded. Anyway, I digress. But with a purpose. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. As we did earlier, we read the Bible. Read your Bible. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Meditate on the Word of God all day. Here's the next one. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I hear some say right now, oh, well, it don't take all that. We don't have to live like that. That's just too much. Okay? Your family's going to be shot to hell. Your children are going to be out in the street defacing the CNN building and in jail with some hoodlums with the coronavirus. Keisha, I guess that's her first name. But I just be honest with her. I love her. She's a Christian woman. I love her. Maya Bottoms. And her husband may not like for me to say that. That's fine. But she's a public figure. I love her. I have a great deal of respect for her. And she's tough as nails. She's sweet as she can be. But she's tough as nails. She is not playing. She is the mother. She is the new mother of Atlanta. She can't be no more than 40-something years old. And I can't ride with Biden. Biden talks crazy. Ain't no telling what Biden might say. Biden is senile. But if he had any sense, he would get her to be his running mate. Mayor Bottoms of Atlanta, I love her. She flat told some people off yesterday. I mean, from her heart. No notes, from her heart. No teleprompter, from her heart. She flat told them, I mean to tell you, she was not playing. And then had Killer Mike behind her. You would think this is the worst guy to have. Killer Mike. We don't need Killer Mike. But he went off. T.I. went off. Mayor Bottom said, T.I. and Killer Mike, they own half of Westside over there. Y'all destroying their stuff. Y'all supposed to love them. Pray always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What if the saints of God, where are the saints? I know y'all not out in the street trying to break the windows at CNN. I know you're not out in the street burning police cars up, threatening police, all in the police face, all at the White House, pulling that they had a tug of war going on at the White House, and the people standing out there, they beat the police and pulled the thing away from the guardrail thing away from the police. I said, what in the world? At the White House? Somebody's not praying. The church is still playing. And that's why we have this mess going on in our streets today. what that police officer did to that black man was terrible. And I hope he is put under the jail. His model wife, who won Mrs. Minnesota, beautiful lady, he got arrested yesterday, and she's filing for divorce today. And so he's being hit with a double whammy. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Pray always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Somebody's not praying at the house of God. And the house of God is you, Christians, at home. I know you're not out in the street. Don't let me catch you out there. Tearing the police cars up, burning up police stations. Have you lost your mind, people? And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. If you have a rough, evil family like I do, I would advise you to read this passage. If you got nice, sweet, everybody's sweet, angelic, you don't need to read this passage every day. You got a wonderful, sweet, angelic family. There's no demon-possessed people or people who act like they're demon-possessed in your family. And you don't need to read this. God bless you. But some families, you need to read this every day and be reminded afresh and anew. I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. I don't know what kind of mayors we have in Minnesota. I don't know what kind of police officers. I don't know what is going on. But I would not have allowed them, if I was mayor, to burn down the police station or to burn down a police car. That would not be happening. Not if I was the mayor. And it should not be happening at all anywhere. But I'm afraid the church is still playing and not praying. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Our devotional passage for today is Psalm 40, verses 11 through 17. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. Have you ever felt like that? So that I am not able to look up. Have you ever been that way yourself? Have you ever been around a friend or a family member they can't look up because they're in sin? They can't look at you in the eye because they have sinned against God. They can't look at your eyeball, the eyeball. They can't even look up to God. Always got their head down. Are you that way? They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate, for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, Aha, Aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Matthew Henry said in his commentary about this passage, the best saints see themselves undone unless continually preserved by the grace of God. See the frightful view the psalmist had of sin. This made the discovery of a Redeemer so welcome. In all his reflections upon each step of his life, he discovered something amiss. The sight and sense of our sins in their own colors will distract us if we have not at the same time some sight of our Savior. If Christ has triumphed over our spiritual enemies, then we through him shall be more than conquerors. This may encourage all that seek God and love his salvation to rejoice in him and to praise him. No griefs nor poverty can render those miserable who fear the Lord. No grief, no poverty can render them miserable who fear the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray for one another. I'm going to pray for you. If you are a child of God, if you are a sinner, I'm going to pray for you. Please pray for me. I'm going to pray for your family. Pray for my family. And let's pray for all Christians everywhere, believers in Christ, as God commands us to. And let's pray for everybody in the government, whether we like them or not. Let's pray for law enforcement and be thankful for good law enforcement. Let's pray for the medical workers and other so-called essential workers now, based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Back here. Back here. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for all of your people, those who are called by your name. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. And help us, Lord, to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we thank you for the millions and manifold blessings you bestowed upon your people down through the years. And we humbly pray and we praise you and we thank you for salvation, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, food, provision, protection, wise down through the years. And we humbly, Lord, if we're willing to, by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, willing to confess our sins, and to repent and turn from our evil ways. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless us in the way that you have in the past. Let your will be done. And Holy Father God, we pray for all people in government. We pray, Lord, for the President of the United States and all government officials in the administration, in Congress, governors, mayors, all across this country, police chiefs, sheriffs. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon them all. And we pray that you would give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding and insight, lead them and guide them and direct them in the way that you want them to go. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'll cast out the devil and the demons of hell, Lord, out of the government. Save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. And use them, Lord, to save this nation from itself. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of all lost people in this country, around the globe, and in the media. We pray for the revival of all Christians in this country, around the globe, and in the media as well. We pray, Holy Father God, for those who are being persecuted, Lord, around the world, that you would comfort them, deliver them, and provide for them, and give them the grace and strength to deal with it. And Holy Father God, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all other countries. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all other countries in the same way we pray for ours. And Holy Father God, we pray now for all of the people who have the families and friends and church members of people who have succumbed in the coronavirus plague. And we pray for the family, friends, and church family of Michigan Church Elder Freddie Brown Jr. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort these families as only you can. We pray that you will help them to turn their eyes towards you, Lord Jesus, for comfort and for salvation. And we pray that they would turn their eyes to your Holy Scriptures for comfort. We pray for the family, friends, and church family of Michigan student Freddie Brown III. We pray for the family and friends of California teacher Russ Abraham. We pray, Lord, for the comfort of the family and friends of California resident Azar Arabi. We pray for the family and friends of California veteran Costell Acri. We pray for the family and friends of New York resident Gabriel Hudson Gale. And we pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Florida nurse Araceli Buendia. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of Illinois City employee Revelle Burke. And we pray for the family and friends of New York restaurant owner Floyd Cardoz. And we pray for the family and friends of New York photographer Anthony Causey. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who have sent in prayer requests to us directly. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray for Robin. Please stop breast cancer from reoccurring in her body and heal her from the severe side effects of the medication. We pray for Joseph. Bless him, his family, and ministry in Kenya. We pray, Lord, for Chikatla. Please bless him with the sufficient food and resources he needs to take care of the orphan children treat the AIDS, HIV patients and elderly in his church, and to win more lost souls for you before you return. Provide for him financially. Protect them from the coronavirus. We pray for Anita. Save her prayer request is for the salvation of President Trump's soul. Help him not to be deceived by or associate with phony Christians. Protect him and guide him in all his decisions. For all phony Christians to truly get saved and turn to God. We pray for Ravi. Please remove the coronavirus from the world and provide him with the soap, tissue, sanitizer, masks, and food to give to the poor children. Bless him with Urdu Bibles and children's Bibles, sewing machines, and tables for the widows, food for the orphans and disabled children, and food packages for the poor and needy families in Pakistan. Bless their prayer meetings and gospel outreach as well, and protect them all from the coronavirus. We pray for Stephen. Please bring his wife back from Europe, guide them in their marriage, and protect them from the coronavirus. And Holy Father God, we commit all of these souls into your hands. Help us to pray for them even more throughout this day. We pray for all of the people in the thousands who have sent in prayer requests to us to pray for them. Hear and answer their prayers, and hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings upon them. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for those now who have trusted you as Savior. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for Brianna. We pray for Silvano. We pray for Rhett. We pray for William. We pray for Dee. And we pray for Hassanu, and we pray for Kwame. And Lord, we also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. And we have never given an invitation for that, but many have done so. And we thank you for that. We pray for Agul. We pray for X. We pray for George. We pray for Fuad. We pray for Karen. We pray for Joy. And we pray for Helena. And we commit all of these souls into your hands as well as ours. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. God's glory shines in our difficulty. From the morning and evening devotional by Dr. Charles Spurgeon. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 24. The Lord our God hath showed us his glory. Dr. Spurgeon says, God's great design in all his works is the manifestation of his own glory. Any aim less than this were unworthy of himself. But how shall the glory of God be manifested to such fallen creatures as we are? Man's eye is not single. He has ever a side glance towards his own honor, has too high an estimate of his own powers, and so is not qualified to behold the glory of the Lord. It is clear, then, that self must stand out of the way, that there may be room for God to be exalted. And this is the reason why he bringeth his people oft times into straits and difficulties, that being made conscious of their own folly and weakness, they may be fitted to behold the majesty of God when he comes forth to work their deliverance. He whose life is an even and smooth path will see but little of the glory of the Lord. For he has few occasions of self-emptying, and hence but little fitness for being filled with the revelation of God. They who navigate little streams and shallow creeks know but little of the God of tempests. But they who do business in great waters, these see his wonders in the deep, among the huge Atlantic waves of bereavement, poverty, temptation, and reproach. We learn the power of Jehovah because we feel the littleness of man. Thank God, then, if you have been led by a rough road, it is this which has given you your experience of God's greatness and loving kindness. Your troubles have enriched you with a wealth of knowledge to be gained by no other means. Your trials have been the cleft of the rock in which Jehovah has set you, as he did his servant Moses, that you might behold his glory as it passed by. Praise God that you have not been left to the darkness and ignorance which continued prosperity might have involved, but that in the great fight of affliction you have been capacitated for the outshinings of his glory in his wonderful dealings with you. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord, that you do not keep us in prosperity, that you allow us to go through deep waters and trouble and tribulation, because otherwise we would not grow and become what you want us to be and be a blessing to others. So, Lord, be thorough with us. Break us, make us, and mold us to be what you would have us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, save those who are lost. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life," that is, in heaven with God. If you want to be saved today, do what the Bible says. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God, to be with Jesus Christ, to be with the saints, and to be with the angels. So, dear friend, if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, I'm willing to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Just repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. I receive your free gift. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my free download book, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Just download it free of charge. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.